Welcome back to another episode of Mary and Andy Geek Out. This is our third podcast episode, and we're going to be covering three more episodes of season one of Teen Titans. So we got episode seven switched. Would you like to take it from there, Mary, since you like that episode a lot? Or, like, give me a description?
No. I did the first one last time. You got to do this one.
All right. Sounds fair. Episode seven is where the Puppet King makes his first and, I think, only appearance in the series. And he captures the souls of Robin, Beast Boy, and Cyborg into puppets. But in the process, Starfire and Ravens get their souls switched. And they have to learn about each other.
All right, episode eight is Deep Six, in which Beast Boy thinks he is invaluable because he's the only teammate that can operate underwater. Finds out he's very replaceable by a dude that can talk to fish. They learn to work together to take down another fish dude.
And then finally, there's episode nine, Masks. The first appearance of Red X. Basically, Robin wants to get closer to Slade, so he disguises himself as Red X, and in the process, Slade calls him out on it, and his fellow teammates don't like that too much.
Everybody's mad at Robin.
Yeah. So these were, you know, another three episodes. You know, we're continuing to
Switched. Yeah. Definitely stands as a great example of how good they are with characters.
Yeah.
The issue, it's not just an issue with cartoons, but any show that does body swapping. I forgot where I was going with that. I was thinking of two different things at the same time. One is the issue that I have. I can only think of one TV show that has not done this, is when bodies switch, voices switch, voice actors switch. And I am not cool with that, especially when you have talent like Tara Strong.
So just for clarification, you mean basically when Starfire and Raven switch bodies, the voice actress of Starfire voiced
Raven's body.
Voiced her in Raven's body, and the voice actor for Raven voiced her in Starfire's body.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you know, it always, that was one of those things that as a kid you think like, well, you know, wouldn't the vocal cords change, like, stay the same? It's just the mind that gets switched.
Yeah, as a kid.
Yeah, probably the only...
What's funny about you saying that as a kid is I think one of the reasons they don't keep the same voice actors when they do the body swapping is because they don't want to confuse children.
Yeah, but there was one big exception to this from our childhood...
Yes.
Television series. And Mary loves this episode, so I don't want to steal it away from her. So why don't you say it?
Justice League, was it Unlimited at this point?
Or did yeah.
Yeah, Justice Unlimited. League Unlimited, the Great Brain Robbery, where Lex Luthor and the Flash swap brains, but the voice actors do not change. And it's also a pretty hilarious episode.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite of the Justice League episodes. And not to talk about Justice League in a Teen Titans series, but I mean, I think that's a standout. If you want a good brain body switch episode, that's kind of like the peak because, I mean, the voice actors, they record their voice acting in front of each other. They learned how the other character would speak like that. And it's amazingly well done.
Yeah. I also want to bring up other than writers not trusting their audiences. Another reason they like to switch voice actors. And I know this for a fact from a rare live action example of this, Red Dwarf. They had to switch voice actors because one of the actors could not do any accent other than his own.
That's pretty funny. But you know, like, regardless, this is still a pretty good episode.
Yeah, great character study. Like, if you ever want to really make sure you know your characters, have them have to deal with a different life for a while.
Yeah, and you know, even though the voices change with the mind swap, one thing that doesn't change are the facial expressions, or does change. I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, Starfire is Raven in Starfire's body constantly looks bored. She kind of moves the way Raven does, just sort of as little as possible.
Well, yeah, Starfire in Raven's body, super happy. You know, you would think this was Pink Raven we were dealing with in Nevermore. So you're seeing, like, character expressions that you would not even get a chance to see glimpse of in the rest of the series. So this is a pretty good, like, they've done some really good work on their facial expressions this episode.
Yes. Also, it's a episode that focuses on the two girl characters, which is great, because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of shows in this genre, usually, if we're lucky, we'll have one girl.
Right.
And you won't get to, you know, and even if they have two girls, they probably don't want to have them interact, because they're worried about alienating their male fan base.
Yeah, if I may, like, at the recording of this episode, we are now on season 5 of Voltron. I think it's 5. We're recording this right now as of June 2018. I know another season's coming out next month, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Pidge and
Allura,
we haven't really had an episode where it's just them two interacting with each other.
Yes.
I mean, we've had some good character moments,
yeah,
but that's
funny about
it.
That is they had to, like, take a character that was already male and make them a girl to have the two girl characters.
But, I mean, it works out pretty great, though. I mean, Pitch is...
Although,
yeah.
I don't want to get too off track, but to be fair, the original Voltron did give the princess a nanny.
Ooh. And, you know, this also reminds me, going back to Justice League, actually, in the first season, I think it was, if it wasn't the second storyline, it was probably the third, the one where one of Wonder Woman's villains released a virus that
was killing all the men.
Killing all the men. So this was probably one of the only episodes in the series where it was just Wonder Woman and Hot Girl fighting together, kind of learning about each other.
On that subject, I haven't seen much Young Justice, mm-hmm. but somebody, I think, gifted, and that's why I saw it, or gift, for those who want the correct but wrong pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, Robin telling them there was a reason that they had to get an all-female super team. And he was telling them something like, only women are allowed there. And one of the characters is like, and that's the only reason you're having an all-girl super team? He's like, and hangs up.
That's funny. I need to see that.
We need to see all the Young
Justice.
We
need to see it in general. On our to-do list. But we keep getting off track, but for good reason. I mean, this draws a lot of comparison, this episode, to other superhero and
action cartoons.
There's a lot of potential here. So yeah, they do a good job showing, you know, it kind of, this episode really hones in the powers that come from both Raven and Starfire. And kind of similar in that they both, in a way, deal with emotions.
Yeah.
One is you need to really control your emotions. The other is let your emotions flow through you and give you your strength.
Yes, which also makes me wonder how Beast Boy activates his powers.
Probably, like, imagining the animal in his head.
Yeah.
Because here, I mean, like...
And that, those are the three that are actually superpowered.
You mean, like through natural means?
I mean, that actually have superpowers.
Yeah.
Cyborg doesn't have superpowers.
Right.
He's a cyborg.
Right. I know that Beast Boy, for instance, in the episode where they visit Starfire's planet, he transforms into one of the alien monsters after seeing it in person. So,
wasn't going to bring this up till the next episode, but can Beast Boy shapeshift into other sentient races? I bet it's a psychological thing. Like, technically, he could, like, turn into a Tamaranian.
Yeah,
and then he'd have Starfire's powers.
I remember someone was arguing about that. I don't know where I've seen that, but that's a great point. Yeah, he probably could turn into... Wow, yeah, he probably
could turn into a green Martian.
No, I honestly think there'd be no strong reason why he wouldn't be able to do so.
Yeah, I think it's psychological.
But probably one of the biggest things that prevent him from probably using their powers is that he wouldn't have the lifetime of control
being
over
brought
them.
Up with it.
Yeah, you know, like, not to look down on animal powers. I feel like if I were turned into, say, a turtle or an elephant, I could probably get a general sense of the overall muscle. I know.
I'm just imagining Beast Boy being like, I know Bigfoot's real. I'm going to find him. And I'm going to turn into him.
No, I am Bigfoot. That's so funny. He was kind of like a werewolf, too, in his other episode, so...
Wasn't that, like, a weird, like, genetic anomaly thing that was, coalescence of his powers? Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, Raven! This is awful! Terribly, horribly awful!
Tell me about it.
Very well. Robin, Cyborg, and Beast Boy have been trapped inside tiny wooden bodies while a nasty creature called the Puppet King has taken control of their real bodies, which he is using to hunt us down, and you and I are in the wrong bodies, and...
Starfire, you have to calm down. My powers are driven by emotion. The more you feel, the more energy you unleash.
But what if they find us? What if our friends are doomed? What if I am stuck looking like this forever?
We'll fix it. I don't know how, but we will rescue the boys and we will get our bodies back. What's wrong with the way I look?
I want to talk a little bit about Puppet King.
Oh, good.
Because, like, well, I mean, sounds like you have some things.
I don't really.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'll just start spitballing here. First thing is, his voice is so odd.
At least, like, it's, like, sort of a Peter Lorre, but even more subdued.
Yeah. It's very...
It's creepy and deliberate.
And it doesn't really match his puppet body overall. I mean, maybe...
It does match his being really creepy.
Yeah. But even when he's supposed to be, have a heightened emotion, the voice doesn't really reflect that. Like, there's a moment where they got his, like, remote control.
The controller.
Yeah, my controller. Like, yeah. You want to put a little bit more, like, fear in that voice?
I think it's just because he's got a limited range being made of literal wood.
All right, I can accept that.
I wonder what brought him to life.
Yeah, there's so many questions. Like, I know, like, the thing about this show is, like, questions are never answered because it's a kid's show.
Not because it's a kid's show, just because that's not the point.
Mm-hmm. But, like, there's so many things about the Puppet Master that we'll never know about. Because as far as I know, he never comes back.
Yes, except in, like, the comic book.
And then, like, also, what is his beef against the Titans?
I think it goes to that standard supervillain thing, or it's just, like, you know, these are the people to beat now. Although, he did have a good plan. He was going to steal a bunch of superpowered kids and use them to control the city. He said that.
Yeah.
He's basically stealing their bodies to take control of... What's the name of this city?
Oh, is it East City? Or West City?
Uh-huh.
I can't remember.
Don't add us.
I know. but I will say, like, I do like how when he was controlling Robin, Cyborg, and Beast Boy, and they're kind of, like, on the ground, and they kind of came back up. They came up in, like, a puppety motion, like they're being pulled up by strings, which is a very nice touch overall.
Here's a question. What do you have to keep them fed?
Probably.
Water.
It's bodies. Yeah.
And every now and then have to, like, pilot them to, like, the toilet hole.
All right. You do your business. I would never know. He probably would have to figure it out after the first few hours.
Seems like he can sort of do, like, limited instructions and then they take it from there. Otherwise, he would have so much trouble with Beast Boy. So,
yeah.
How do I make him change into a thing?
Yeah. That's a good point. Interesting villain overall, and, I mean, not the
most... No, he'd actually be super boring if it wasn't for the body swap thing, because it's just, you know, mind control. Boring mind control. We have fun mind control later with Mother May I.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, this was really... He was the means to getting Raven and Starfire to become more close with each other.
Yes. Oh, so it was in, back in the episode with Blackfyre, episode 2, Sisters.
Yeah.
There's sort of like a little taste of that dynamic because Starfire just wants to hang out with her friends that Blackfyre seems to be stealing.
Yeah.
And she goes to Raven and asks if they can go to that dreary cafe together.
Oh, yeah.
And like she's still talking while Raven closes the door on her. But that's... I feel like in a way that was leading up to this.
It kind of was. I mean,
just like that small moment.
And I liked it. I mean, both of them were really trying to understand each other. It wasn't specifically Starfire's being annoying or Raven's mm-hmm. being a shut-in. It's a little of both. Which makes me... I want to say this before I forget, but there's a little nice touch at the end when Starfire wants to meditate with Raven, and they say Azeroth, Metrion, Synthos.
The other hand.
They're hovering, but they hover in their own unique way. Because Raven...
It's telepathy.
Yeah.
And, like, actual spiritual, mystical levitation.
Yeah.
Starfire's just flying.
Well, it's funny, because, yeah, Starfire, she's kind of floating up and down. She's kind of bobbing up and down a little.
I thought Raven was bobbing. Oh, Starfire was still.
That's right. Raven was bobbing up and down, and Starfire was just floating.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting that, like, it kind of dwells in their powers how they keep themselves aloft like that, so...
Yes.
I do like that. That's a nice little touch.
And that's when Raven suggests they go to the mall as her sort of peace offering to Starfire.
Mm.
Which I would love to see that episode.
Yeah. Go to Hot Topic.
It's just the shopping montage. And like weird stuff at the food court and stopping a shoplifter probably. I bet that was an episode of Teen Titans Go.
Oh yeah. I bet, yeah.
This is one thing when all the Teen Titans are having their souls ripped from their bodies while they're sleeping. We do get a glimpse into their bedrooms.
Oh, I wrote that down, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beast Boy has a bunk bed.
Yeah.
Why does Beast Boy have a bunk bed?
I'm going to be on Beast Boy's side on this one. So when I went to college, I never slept into a bunk bed, or if I did, it was very rare until mm-hmm. that moment. And when I saw that there was a bunk bed, I was like, oh, ooh, I'm going to be a top bunk.
Okay, but like, they brought their own furniture to their bedrooms. He wanted a bunk bed.
I mean, there's nothing. I think it's just really cool.
I have a hypothesis that it's a holdover from his Doom Patrol days.
Hmm. He probably also likes to make forts in the bunk bed. You can do some pretty cool fort ideas in
Fair.
Bunk beds.
Yeah. And he left his game station on and his TV on. His room's a goddamn mess.
As compared to Cyborg's room, which is basically almost sterile and like a laboratory.
Yeah.
And he was sleeping. Cyborg was sleeping on an operating table. In no blanket, no pillow. Well, I mean, there's a little headrest, but like he's just sitting. He's just sleeping on his.
He probably is like just like he leaves such a huge dent in a bed at this point that it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
What he needs is a good firm mattress.
Yeah.
Or just...
One of those memory. yeah, and then when we get to episode 9, that's when we'll see all 5 of the Titans' room at that point. When we get to see Robin's room as well.
Right. Did we miss it? Oh, one thing I want to say.
Yeah.
I feel like Raven is better at adapting than Starfire is.
Like her powers or just
to
the situation?
To the situation. Because she, even though she doesn't immediately know how to use her power, she's the one that, like, drags them around, that hides them in the dumpster. She takes charge.
Right.
And she keeps them surviving even though she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. She's definitely, I think it's her level-headed meditation that's kept her focus on that kind of.
Yes. If she was more of a team player, she'd make a great second in command. But I think that's Cyborg. For
yes.
sure.
All right, episode 8.
Episode 8, Deep 6. The first appearance of Aqualad.
Yeah, you know, funny thing about Aqualad, like, and this is the part that bothers me about this episode, is that Raven and Starfire are all googly hard-eyed over him.
Uh-huh.
And then in later episodes, they're not even fazed by him.
No, I think every time he shows up, they do have that joke.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Not in team-up episodes, but in Like, I think there was one where they did, like, all the heroes must fight each other.
Hmm. I don't remember that. Okay. We'll have to keep an eye out
on
that.
Yeah, I swear it comes back again.
I also am kind of like, I don't know, I just kind of find it surprising that Raven would be charmed by his looks. But
maybe Aqualad had a secondary power that he hadn't learned to control yet.
Ooh.
Or tertiary power, however many powers the Aqua.
The attractive power of fish.
It's the fish pheromones.
But he kind of, again, I've barely seen any episodes of Young Justice, but he's kind of like a pre-incarnation of
Spike.
Is Spike from the Young Justice?
I think
Aqualad?
That's his name. Yeah, the white-haired dude.
Yeah,
with the water knives.
Yeah, is he Aqualad as well?
I think he was an original character for the series because
okay.
They were like, "This is too white."
Yeah. Well, they probably. Yeah. Well, he's kind of he definitely comes off as like a strong, confident character. That's pretty.
I don't want to get into that too much because I've seen like two episodes of that series.
No, I meant of.
Oh,
I'm
Aqualad.
Sorry, of Aqualad in here, yeah. But I do like his scenes with Beast Boys when he communicating to him via telepathy.
Which makes me wonder. Aqualad can communicate with aquatic creatures, sure. So that means he can communicate with Beast Boy when he is an aquatic creature. Can Beast Boy communicate with animals? I don't think that ever comes up.
No, I don't think it's has ever really come up before. I think he can really interact with them on a basic level, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm going to say because the Aqua family powers are kind of bullshit because they're sort of just like mystical elemental. This thing blogs in the water, ergo I can talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a linguistic thing.
Okay, so here's my thing. Again, going back to Aqualad. Can he communicate to any life form, practically? Or is it just marine life? Because he has talked to everything
mammals,
from
fish.
Mammals to fish to crustaceans.
To shapeshifting.
To
superheroes.
Mollusks.
Uh-huh.
So he can definitely communicate. And that's a really broad group. That is an incredibly broad group of animals. And so it makes me wonder, like, what is separating
him? Like, can
you
talk to beavers?
Yeah, like, can he talk to transitional animals, like semi-aquatic animals?
And salamanders, frogs, mudskippers?
Yeah.
Well, mudskippers.
Can
probably.
He only talk to animals when he's in the water or out of the water?
I'm sure this has been discussed at length with Aquaman.
Yeah. And then, of course, can he communicate to people, to all the animals outside? So it's just
oh,
like,
not to mention all, like, the other Atlantean races who are, like, just fish people?
Yeah. I don't know. But it's kind of like broad powers, and we'll not really get into it, but he can talk to a lot of sea life.
I imagine they tried to get into it in the comics from a few different directions, and it was just like, oh, no, 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 we should stop. Aquaman went through the Silver Age. That's when everybody kept being able to do all sorts of weird bullshit that they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Superman made contact lenses out of moon rocks.
What?
I think so. That might have been... Yeah, I think that was Silver Age. Sounds Silver Age-y. Superman could do anything.
Beautiful!
It's not beautiful. It's totaled! Oh, man, I never even got to use the seismic blasters.
Where are we?
My place. I told the whales to bring you here.
Okay, thanks. Oh, yes, truly, truly, thank you so much for saving us.
He saved you? Hello? I was there too, you know.
You stopped Triton from kebabbing us with that souped-up shrimp fork?
Way to go!
Well, I was gonna, but...
I'm Aqualad. Sorry I didn't introduce myself earlier. We Atlanteans try to keep a low profile.
Good job. Don't think anybody even noticed you.
I also love how expressive they are, Beast Boy and
Aquaman.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of good body language.
Without moving their lips at all. So that one's pretty great. Like, just from, body language alone is amazing. and thus be an easy time for the voice actors to try to just like...
Just say whatever. Good for the animators, too.
Yeah.
I think here in America, we do the voices first, then we animate the mouths.
Sometimes they do... Well, I guess not. I don't know. I'm not too familiar. But I will say that it's harder when you have... When you're dubbing over a series that's from a different country of origin altogether, so... Yeah. But here, I mean, you don't even have to deal with that, which is nice. I also like how humble Aqualad is as well. Like, he's just an outstanding guy.
He's really boring.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm kind of glad we don't see too much of him.
Which is good, because he's sort of just a focus point for Beast Boy's jealousy. He didn't have to be interesting, although it would have been nice, but...
Yeah, I know, like...
Also, I love how, like, they find Aqualad... He's like, he's an Atlantean like us, and we're supposed to keep it secret. And he just told like five teenagers. It's like, wow, way to blow that entire secret city's existence. I don't know. Maybe they already heard of Aquaman. So Aquaman's Atlantean status like public knowledge. All the superheroes exist. They just don't show up. It's like the parents in Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, that this world knows that Atlantis exists.
Yeah, but he was saying it was a secret.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it wasn't.
Maybe they think it's a secret.
Yeah.
Or maybe the location's a secret. You know, like Themyscira. It's, people know it exists, but nobody's allowed to go there.
Yeah.
Or Wakanda. Or the invisible gorilla city.
This episode, there's not much to talk about.
Yeah,
Besides the Beast Boy Aqualad spat. And Triton was like an okay villain.
Triton.
Who cloned himself because he was perfection.
Yes, and I'm sure he made love to himself often. But who tops?
Lee, sweet love. No, side to side.
They are fish.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of how he cloned himself, huh?
Those
were eggs.
Anyway, we're going to move on. Yeah. This was also the first appearance of the little beacon or the little watch-like thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Aqualad becomes the first honorary Teen Titan in the series.
Yep.
First of so many.
Yeah, which is... which doesn't really come back until... much later in the series.
I think it's like the second to last season.
Oh, well.
It definitely was a big thing with the Beast Boys arc with the Doom Patrol.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember Cyborg tried to start his own.
No, there's Titans East and Titans
West.
Yes.
Cyborg tried to get that started.
No, he did succeed.
He did succeed. He was like let me try that again. He was the temporary leader of it.
Yes.
And that's where they got their little...
I love that team.
From. It's an okay team.
You shut your face. I had Bumblebee. And Vasimenos.
Yeah. And Aqualad.
Yeah.
And Speedy. It's like...
Wait. They had... No, Speedy wasn't in that group.
Speedy wasn't in that? I'm pretty sure
he was. Oh, sorry. I got Speedy and Kid Flash mixed up. Yes. Yeah. Because his name makes no sense.
He can shoot really fast.
It makes sense in the same way as Robin's name makes sense, I guess.
He's a bird.
No, he named himself after Robin Hood because he was a kid and he's like, I want to be like Robin Hood.
Oh.
And that's why his costume's like that, because it's based on Robin Hood.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird because Green Arrow is based on Robin Hood. And then Speedy's like, I want to be not Robin Hood. Why is he called Speedy? We don't have Wikipedia.
Because he does speed. Anyway.
Letting you wallow in that by yourself.
Anything else of note?
We got the Titan submarine. You know, toyetic.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they really made as many toys of this series as they should have.
There probably were. We just... blocked them from our memory. I bet we can find like a YouTube video of Teen Titan commercials.
Maybe. Okay.
Because I could totally see them, like,
I thought this was the episode where Beast Boy would keep everybody safe in his mouth as a whale, but turns out that's a lot later.
I didn't even know that happened.
Oh, no.
But that's pretty awesome.
Yes. Let's check my notes. I wish I'd give myself context for these, because I have just one note that says premature.
Oh,
I know. It's because, like, they accidentally initiated the egg hatching.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they're not going to be fully formed. This is going to be gross.
Yeah, but they were fully formed. So it's like, why was he having them hang around?
It was getting crowded, probably.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is ridiculous, you guys.
Perfection needs food.
And space.
And space.
Oh, right. Also, I feel like the Aqualad had a little fish dude friend that helped fix the submarine.
Yeah, I
feel
like
he kind of got snubbed at the end. You know, Robin's like, you're an honorary Teen Titan. You helped, but you're a freaky fish dude.
You're technically a young adult. We cannot help you.
I think? It's hard to tell with fish.
You're 2 years of age, but you are fully mature. We cannot...
You're not a teen, though.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm thinking about Kids Next Door, where... You know, they're part of the kids' agents, but then when they turn 13, then they lose their memory and their status and things like that. Oh, it's so depressing.
God, it was weird how they built on that. Because earlier in Kids Next Door, it's just supposed to be, you know, funny at, like, you know, these are children's problems and they're turning them into, like, this spy thing. And right. Then they kept building on that.
Yeah, and then
until it became too serious.
And then it was like, whoa, okay, all right, making me really
feel bad for growing up.
Yeah, question my whole existence right now. Because I remember, like, that again, that was one of those shows you watch while growing up. And when you see that, you're like, all right, this is fun.
You remember how number 5's dad was Bill Cosby?
Oh, yeah.
That's not aging well.
No, it hasn't. Anyway.
I don't think there's anything else to cover in this episode. It honestly wasn't that good a Beast Boy episode.
It was okay.
Yeah, but I think it's because it focused on his relationship with a boring character.
Yeah. I think there wasn't... if we were to compare... Yeah, what's up?
Oh, and you know what else makes it fall flat? Beast Boy is consistently kind of the most useless member. And he, like, the episode for once, mm-hmm. He's excited because he gets to be useful. And they don't even let him have that. Like, they make it so the conflict is, like, him being jealous of Aqualad. But the whole thing is he's really insecure about his position in the team.
Right. Oh, I mean, he's useful.
He is, but he's not the most useful. Like, it's
who would
sufficient.
You argue is the most useful?
That's the thing. Like, Beast Boy, definitely you could do without, but everybody else, they're good bruisers, they can take hits, one's got telepathy, one's good with technology, one's just a good leader and can solve problems.
Yeah.
And Beast Boy...
can go into really small places.
Yeah. That's a good point. They should have that happen more often.
Yeah. I think also...
But I don't, like, they didn't really...
Like, they use, like, blood. They try to find excuses to use his powers, like...
That's the thing.
He's a bloodhound, for instance.
That's, again, the thing. If you have to shape a problem around a power, it's not a useful power. It's like Aquaman and Super Friends.
Hmm.
It's like, okay, let's put some water here.
You're making me question...
Yeah, well,
my love for this show and my character.
I'm sorry, but I mean, it could have been handled better. I'm not sure how, because I wasn't read in the episode. And, you know, Beast Boy does have his moments. I think what they wanted him to be like is, like, how Flash is for the Justice League in the animated series. You know, sort of the heart of the team.
Mm-hmm. But that role goes to Starfire.
Yes.
It's very clearly Starfire.
Yes.
And we even get an episode of that, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, where she's gone.
Yeah, where she's gone. They
and
go
everything
in the
goes to hell.
Yep, and Beast Boy goes bald and fat.
And works in a circus. You'd think you'd have other places to go. You know, if I lost my team and I could turn to animals, I'd just, like, turn into a wolf and join a pack or something. After 4 years and I'd be super bummed out.
I don't know about a wolf. Yeah, I was about to say, I'd probably turn into...
an elephant, and then he could protect them.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
Go protect against poachers. Now, that's a good way of living.
Yeah. And, you know, you live as an elephant, which isn't the worst.
And then you'd be green elephant.
But anyway, main point is I feel like they didn't really... because they started with Beast Boy feeling useful. Then he stopped feeling useful, but they framed it like he was competing.
Right.
When really it's just like, oh, let Beast Boy be useful.
He'll get a chance.
Yeah. And he'll get better character episodes, too.
Rumor has it you're interested in this.
I'm interested in many things. Mr.
X. Red X.
Catchy. So, are you proposing a sale or a gift?
A partnership. I give you the chip. You cut me in on your plans.
Partnership? My, my. We are ambitious. But an alliance cannot be forged from one small chip. If you're going to win my trust, I'll require more.
Just tell me what you want.
Masks!
All right, this is the first full-on, full-frontal Slade episode.
Yeah.
No disguises, no screens, except totally screens, but...
you know, I know, you're about to say something, but, like, real quickly, you know, season one's supposed to be the Robin episode, the Robin season.
Yes.
And so far, we haven't gotten many episodes dealing with the Slade-Robin conflict.
I mean...
we've got an introduction of Slade as, like, a villain, but it's not been very focused on Robin until this episode and kind of Forces of Nature. A little bit in Forces of Nature, so...
where Robin really wanted to fight an old dude.
Yeah. But sorry, well...
I went to start, the first line in the episode is, like, Robin yelling, if Slade wants this, he can come get it himself! And I... was so certain Robin was talking about himself.
If he wants this, he needs to get it himself. Robin, put your shirt back on.
Robin, we're not supposed to, like, our clothes don't come off. How are you doing this?
I'm scared, Robin. Why? Anyway, Slade, yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because it's true. I mean, Slade has this weird obsession with Robin. Like, he seems so enamored by him. Not, I don't know about, like, enamored, but obsessed by him.
Yes, obsessed is a good word.
Yeah.
And part of it, I think it is he sees himself in Robin, because they both are just really skilled loners that don't have superpowers in a world where...
that we know of.
Yes. I don't think Slade has superpowers.
But who is he?
Slade Wilson. Deathstroke the Terminator.
I'm just kidding.
A dude who, I think he's just an assassin, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Who is not Deadshot. That's a different assassin.
But yeah, I just like how he's just playing with Robin / Red X throughout the entire episode. He's like, oh, Red X, what a surprise. You want these discs, huh? Alright, sure. I'll have you be with me.
Yeah, one part that just made me so happy. Like, okay, Robin's Red X. We're not supposed to know it's Robin. But Slade totally knows it's Robin. So, you know, he's being all like a bad guy. And he's like, I'd like to work with you. And says I'm called Red X. And Slade just does this, Yeah, I'm into that.
Nice. Yeah, Slade is obsessed with Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays off in the season finale for this series.
that we've seen before. But it's been a while.
In all honesty, I don't remember the finale that too well.
I remember part of it.
Yeah. So, and I'm curious how
I remember some really good lines.
Yes. Him and... I don't remember anything, like I said. But I'm curious to see how that will also tie into Terra in the following season as well. When he becomes her mentor.
Quote unquote.
This is also, going back to the rooms, this is also, Robin's the last person we see a bedroom of for the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason, because in his room are just filled with newspapers on the wall, like a big conspiracy theorist of all the previous villains they fought, especially of Slade.
Yeah, I feel part of it's just like, you know, oh, cool, we're in the news because we took this villain down. And then it started getting Sladier and Sladier.
You mean like the news he collected or?
Yeah, like, you know, there was something like taking down Mumbo and that had nothing to do.
Yeah, that episode had nothing to do with Slade.
Yes, that villain had nothing to do with Slade.
Yeah.
Maybe the writers were planning to have it all tie together somehow, and then they decided against it. But as it stands, I think Robin was just doing his own, like, poor man's Batcave by having, like, his quote-unquote trophies just being newspaper clippings.
Yeah, so I think it kind of goes to show how Robin's becoming a bit unhinged by the whole thing.
Very Batman of him.
Yeah. Which, speaking of which, this is a good segue. This reminds me a lot of the Tower of Babel comic series, which was adapted into an animated movie called Justice League Downfall. And basically, the plot is that the Justice League the Batman's computer gets hacked by some villain. And in it are secret plans on how to take down each member of the Justice League. And they do it so methodically well that they're able to take down every single one of them except Batman, who fights back and helps the Justice League come back together.
And in the end, they become a stronger Justice League.
Well, they all hate Batman.
That all hate Batman, yeah.
And sometimes, some iterations kick him off the team.
I think that's a good reason to.
I mean, this is very like that. Yeah. Robin.
Only
in this case, it was actually Robin doing it.
Yeah. Robin takes down his entire team very handily as Red X.
Yeah, and I wrote this down too, because it
treats them to quite a show.
Very interesting to me. Yes. Quite a show, Robin. He puts Beast Boy in a gooey red muck. He knows how to turn off Cyborg. He bounds Starfire, preventing her from throwing energy bolts or fly. And he
really
gags.
Yeah, that laser vision.
What? Oh, yeah. And he gags Raven, preventing her from saying her
mantra.
Her mantra, yeah. So he systematically is able to disable them without necessarily hurting them. So it was pretty good. It shows how effective of a warrior
and
he is.
And I think that is what tipped Slade off.
Yeah.
Because he was being non-lethal. Because every other villain would absolutely try to annihilate them, apparently.
Right.
Because no villains have codes in this cartoon, I guess.
I think it was also tipped off when he saved Beast Boy from being run over by the train. He's like, all right, yeah, you are full of crap.
oh man, just Ron Perlman's line delivery in this whole episode, he just sounds so, you know, like mildly amused the whole time. He's got that monotone that's not, well, it's creepy because it's a monotone, but it's more like ASMR monotone.
Yeah, it's
very
really
modulated.
Nice. It's very nice to listen to,
yes.
That's for sure.
Deep and, yeah. dang, I didn't write the exact line, but there's a part where Robin and Slade do finally get to duke it out, except, you know, it's a Slade bot. But Robin falls off a building. Slade saves him. He says something like, I'm not finished with you yet.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, way to make that nice moment really creepy, Slade.
Yeah, it's...
Don't take comfort in this!
Overall, and then of course, Robin defeats, quote-unquote, defeats Slade, and he pulls off the mask, and it's a robot!
And then it's a bomb!
And a bomb explodes,
yes,
and
right.
I'm like, this...
Speaking of time...
Yeah, and this guy is like Dr. Doom. Like, he has robots off the wazoo.
Okay, yeah, that goes along with the everything according to plan idea. It's like that, you didn't defeat me, it was just a robot!
Yeah, ha ha ha, suck it! It's like, should have just, like, give Robin the double middle finger.
The robot.
Like in the television screen as a...
Oh, you could have the robot do it while he does it on the screen.
Oh, yeah, the robot.
Be like the quadruple bird.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. And that would infuriate Robin so much.
Yeah, but Slade's a bit little classier. Oh, his butler wasn't in this one.
I know, it wasn't. That's because he didn't get pissy in it.
I think the butler only isn't supposed to show up on screen when he's talking to his Robin.
Yeah. Believe me, I must be with my
Robin. You think Slade was, like, thinking, like, of his own names if Robin was his ward? It's like, Mini Slade? No.
Sparrow. I don't know.
Thresh.
Thresh. Pelican.
No.
So, with that said, there were a lot of other good moments in this, like, episode besides the main conflict. Which, this episode probably gave the best Starfire quote in a while. She says, "Come, Robin, let us potato on the couch with us. Come potato with the couch on us. With what? Us.
No. Do you like to potato the couch? No.
Potatoing on the couch with us. That's what it is.
There we go.
I love that line. And I also love the touch with... When Raven's gagged, it's basically like duct tape on her mouth.
Yeah.
And Cyborg rips it off her. And like inside, you see these like semi-transparent images of Raven. And they're screaming basically. And it cuts right back to Raven. She goes, ow. But I love that moment.
Okay. There was a line I wrote down. When they're facing off a bunch of Slade's goons in the very first scene. Robin manages to catch one. He's like, "Why are you working for him?" And it's like, when do you ever ask that question to anyone? Like, it's probably money.
He has a good health insurance.
No, it's because he's a robot is the answer.
He
but
good time off.
Loads of robots.
There's vacation.
Do you think Slade buys those robots or makes them?
Probably makes them. I don't think he would trust any company to make them for him.
You don't
him.
Think he has a Slade Industries?
See, I can't even imagine him even working on anything, because all I can imagine him do is just stand around and do nothing. That's how good
cool.
of a villain he is. He just looks at a pile of scraps and he becomes a robot.
He sweet talks it.
Come by wrench and nuts and bolts, assemble yourselves. For me.
We have a lot of work to
we
do.
We have a lot of work to do.
What? Oh, Beast Boy was on point. Second time they face Red X, Beast Boy is like complaining about Robin being useless.
Yeah.
And how, and it turns out it's because Robin's been fighting them all. So Beast Boy's anger was actually very justified in that scene.
Right.
And he didn't even know it.
It reminds me a little bit about how there's sometimes some writers will make the jokey one be right all along through either a joke or through an anger tirade or through telling the truth or observation. And you don't take it too much at face value because it's that character. A great recent example that Mary and I were rewatching a Simpsons episode, and we saw the one where Bart's comet was coming in, and Homer predicted that would get burned up in the atmosphere, and he was right, and everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, Homer was right," and they were really scared that he was able to predict it correctly, which is such a funny joke, and I love that. But not too, sorry.
Different genre, though.
Yeah, completely different genre.
So, digging Slade. Slade, very, very on form this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's anything, of course, like, there's one moral that they're really hammering in this episode, and that was trust. As Slade said it himself, trust is easy to destroy and takes time to build. He was saying that to Red X when Red X was trying to... join Slade, and Slade's like, "Hold on, I can't trust you just yet. You need
steal
to get
more stuff for
you
me.
You need to steal more stuff, and then we'll talk." And I mean, this was a great episode to show how we don't really get to see the fallout, unfortunately. About
yes, but
Robin
it's implied that everybody yelled at him.
And Starfire was most disappointed.
Starfire, I'm not mad, just disappointed.
And you can even see that their trust was still being rebuilt when Red X comes back, whoever he is, and when they see Red X again.
In the last season?
I don't think it's the last season.
No, it's like the next time Red X shows up, it's in the race.
I think it's before the race. But anyway,
mean Robin as Red X shows up again?
No, as someone else. Red X as a separate character.
Yeah, I think he shows up in the last season.
We'll find out. But I do remember a scene.
You really gotta start betting real stuff on these.
We do. There is a good scene where Cyborg is like, wait, is this the real Robin? And he's like, only one way to find out. And he puts on a glove, like a surgical glove. And Robin's like, no, you don't need to do that. And just to show how many seasons on that is, there's still like that little bit
of trust issues.
Mistrust, yeah, of it.
Yeah. Huh. I feel like, and this is probably a coincidence, the technology that Robin was using for his Red X costume, it was a lot like Batman Beyond technology.
Kind of was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Batman Beyond is very red, though.
Science-y gadgets, but also the turning invisible part was the one that...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's, like, prototype Wayne technology.
I like it.
Yeah. We don't really need to tie things together like that, because it's a very cartoony series, but it makes me happy.
Yeah, Red X, his costume and weapons are really good, which makes you think why Robin just doesn't uses them more often. Why doesn't he just... Because a lot of them are pretty good.
Well, part of it was all, like, very specific to fighting his own team.
Right.
I think Robin likes not having his face completely covered. That's one thing.
Yeah.
He had that hologram tech he never uses.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's just really difficult to maintain.
I guess. I mean, like, but I don't know. It's just something interesting to think about because he has a lot of cool weapons, like the gag thing, for instance, on the bounding thing on Starfire. Like, those would go great for a majority of their supervillains that they face. Mumbo's dancing around. Boom, you can throw a bounding thing on him and quickly try to break his wand.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yep. Well, we are controlled by plot necessity.
Yes.
And, you know, after his teammates yelled at him for becoming a supervillain, I can see why he'd be reluctant to reuse any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a good point as well.
It's like, back under the bed. Had all this cool stuff. I got to debut it, and now I can't use it again because it'll bring back bad memories.
Womp, womp.
That also brings up the idea Robin might have other technology he's just straight up hiding for when he needs to do something like this again.
Yeah, or he's still experimenting on as well.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. Maybe something new will come out in a future episode.
You know, it'd be fun
if
Cyborg and Robin collaborated more on their gadgets.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay. I don't have anything else.
Yeah, I think we're good there.
Maybe edit this earlier.
Okay.
They were really big on Starfire's pacifism in this.
Oh, yeah. That she did not want to fight people.
She didn't want to fight the robot. She didn't know it was a robot, but she didn't want to fight it. She didn't want to fight Red X. And then she made them all stop fighting Robin, but that was kind of unrelated because she knew it was Robin.
Yeah. A really good telling moment for her character, that's for sure. Again, something to keep an eye on as we keep watching to see how she...
In contrast, Raven will straight up murder everyone.
Well, it's funny because, like, going back to your Starfire thing, because, like, remember how she can melt beams?
Yeah.
And we were talking about why she doesn't do it at Cinderblock. It's probably because, as you mentioned, she's a pacifist. And she didn't want to straight up murder someone.
Maybe pacifism's not the right word, but the...
Not as violent.
Yes. Does not want to hurt or kill people.
Or maim.
I think that falls under hurt. I think that's about it.
Yeah, cool. Nice. So of the three, which were your favorite?
Masks, because Slade's voice really does it for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got to be Masks. I mean, Slade is a great villain. There is a great plot to it.
I actually objectively think Switched was the superior episode, but Masks was the one that got me the most excited through this watch through.
I think it was more entertaining overall. I think it's a lot of good plot, a lot of good character. I mean, Switch also had a lot of good character focus on it as well. But I think Mask was had a lot stronger, tighter plot overall, with a villain that actually was menacing too.
I mean, point of Switched wasn't the villain.
Yeah, and that's true. Okay, this one, I don't know, I'm beginning to wonder if this is a good question to ask after a while, but like, who do you think was the best Teen Titan character for these three episodes? Because they all kind of had
their moments. Robin's pretty strong contender. Starfire's straight up the main character in two of the episodes.
Yeah. Beast Boy had his own episode. Yeah. I would argue. I think Starfire was probably mainly from her role in Switched and her supporting role in Mask. She did a good job of, like, trying to connect with her teammates overall.
That is her thing.
As the heart of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she was crucial not in the way she did battle, but by her compassion.
Hey, let's steal a question from another podcast.
Okay.
Which character do you most identify with?
I think Beast Boy at this time.
In these three episodes, you mean?
Oh, in the three episodes?
Yeah, let's limit it. Although I probably won't ask this again.
Puppet King. I want to control people. Ah.
Hmm.
No, Slade, because
Triton,
I want to control
I'm
people.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I
can't think too well. It's a bit late right now.
True.
That's okay. Let me think.
I think Beast Boy was the most relatable in all these, and maybe
I do get self-conscious about my position in life.
How important you are with your group of friends.
Yeah. You know what? I would, in all honesty, I would say Beast Boy, because
also kind of relatable in Mask, where he's just pissed at Robin.
Yeah, you're saying I get pissy? Because that's true.
No, I'm saying I'm finding him relatable. I'm saying
okay.
You find him relatable. Making my case.
Nice.
All right, I think that does it.
Thank you for listening to us for another episode of Mago. For next episode, we're going to do things a little bit different. Instead of watching three episodes, we're going to watch four episodes, which is going to finish
us. Last is a two-parter, so
yep.
It almost counts as one.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to finish us off for season one. So looking forward to that, seeing how the Robin and Slade story arc concludes, at least for
this
season.
What's the next episode again? Because I know The Apprentice, part one and two. Oh, are you looking it up?
Yeah, give me a moment.
Okay. I am looking over at Andy's notes right now, and he just has in all caps with an exclamation mark, ROBOT!
Yeah, that's just so funny to me. Like, it's such a BS move for the villain.
Yeah.
Like, haha, you didn't defeat me, it's with a robot.
Yeah, but, what?
Next episode is Mad Mod.
Yay! Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
This is gonna be hilarious.
This one didn't have a song.
I don't think so.
The Mumbo episode has a song, so I kind of overlap them.
I think Mad Mod has Beatles, like Yellow Submarine references.
Yeah, it absolutely does, and it has a weird montage.
Yeah, and the next one after that is Cyborg's car. Like, the first episode of his car appears.
Oh.
And then finally...
The Cyborg car.
Yes.
What?
And then finally the...
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. So anyway...
No relation.
So anyway, thanks again for listening, and
we hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we like recording it.
Yep, a lot of fun. And you folks have a good night.
Please donate to our Patreon.
We don't have one yet.